Alrighty, my friend. You know I am obsessed with health and wellness hacks, right? Using my Plan to Recover journal, I have automated over 15 new vitality-boosting behaviors over the last 3 years, and none of them have been more transformational or effortless to implement than LifeWave's phototherapy patch. The X39 phototherapy patches promote healing by using your body's heat to activate stem cell regeneration. How awesome is that? These tiny patches are clinically proven to restore the body to a level of health that you may not have seen in years. These patches are a result of 80 studies and over 20 years of research. X39 patches are wearable technology, easy to apply to clean skin as part of your AM routine or your PM routine. Personally, I have experienced a more youthful complexion, mobility, and energy levels that I haven't seen, honestly, in over a decade. My arthritic pain and stiffness decreased dramatically in less than 48 hours. Absolutely life-changing. Additional health benefits may include better sleep, shorter recovery times, pain relief, improved energy and vitality, reduced inflammation, and much, much more. If you want to learn more about LifeWave's X39 patches and the many other therapy patches they offer, check out our episode with Darlene Green and IamReverseAging.com. To learn more about my personal experience, check out our YouTube channel, Direct Impact Podcast. Now, don't forget, head to LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting. That's LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting to buy your patches today and support this podcast. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epting, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Andrea Epting, and you're listening to the Direct Impact Podcast. Today, we are doing a candid conversation with Mary Bartito. And this season, we're talking about intimacy betrayal. Mm-hmm. And we thought it would be nice to have a candid conversation about narcissism because intimacy betrayal definitely coexists and it's co-occurring with narcissistic abuse.
Yeah.
And so, but we do want to talk about what is narcissism, because oftentimes, like, people say, oh, they're such a narcissist.
Right.
And it's like, no, I mean, like, that's, like, there might be a characteristic
right.
of narcissism there,
right.
but not a narcissist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about narcissism.
Yeah.
What is it? What isn't it?
I think kind of like what the explosion, like, with narcissism mm-hmm. and, like, with gaslighting, that term, you know, comes to me, like, with, like, pop psychology, because like even what was it? I saw something on my social media talking about what pop psychology versus actual psychology. Mm-hmm. And the one that stood out to me was codependency. Mm-hmm. They were like, just because you have needs does not mean you are codependent. I was like,
no,
you know, you're right. Yeah, I have needs as a person. Like that doesn't mean I'm codependent on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like with narcissism, I think it's the more overt, right? The very inflated ego. That's all about me, me, me. But I think there's more layers to that that we may not recognize.
There's so many layers. And so, for instance,
yeah,
narcissism is personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, what does personality come
right.
from? Personality comes from a lot of different things. Oftentimes our environment, oftentimes genetics, oftentimes it comes out of trauma and early childhood woundings mm-hmm. and mixed messages and abuse.
Right.
It comes out of a lot of different things. So this is a personality disorder that is developed out of a necessity to survive
mm-hmm.
and to protect ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're looking at and treating a narcissist, what becomes, you know, overwhelmingly obvious to me are their insecurities and the lengths mm-hmm. to which they'll go to protect those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are very insecure.
Right.
They are very tender is the thing, which is the opposite of what, how they make you feel.
Right.
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 So what's really happening with them is different than how they react to you and how they might make you feel about yourself.
Mm.
And I think that's oftentimes what people are saying when they're like, oh, they're such a narcissist. What they're saying is they make me feel small.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
And it's
yeah.
like, okay. And so maybe they are, but maybe they just have a few characteristics of narcissism. And you know what? Like 90% of the population, they're going to have a characteristic or two of narcissism.
Right.
But you have to have X amount of traits and characteristics that add up and that would allow you to actually carry the diagnosis of a narcissistic personality. And so, like, there are a lot of layers, I think, and we want to tease out things. So what role does trauma play?
Mm-hmm.
What role does their attachment style play? So, and a lot of that has to do with trauma wounding in childhood. What role does addiction play? Chemical or behavioral addiction?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to start teasing these things out before we would ever label somebody with a personality disorder that's very difficult to treat.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing I will say, like, I've seen, because I was, again, like, looking at some forums, and there's one for therapists that I fell upon, and, like, one therapist or this person who was sharing that they actually had somebody with narcissistic personality come in, and they were just describing how rattled they were from what was being said and how the session went. And they ended up referring the client, I guess, out to somebody who specializes that. But I can only imagine how difficult it is for a clinician that you can see, like you said, the wounding, the hurt, the smallness. But because it's personality, it gets, you know, you're kind of blocked because that's somebody's personality at the end of the day.
Yeah. And the filter from which they see and perceive the world around them, their life, and probably the therapist.
Right.
It makes it challenging to work with them, but there are definitely a lot of different modalities and therapies that you can utilize that makes the treatment of narcissistic personality disorder. It makes it doable. I mean, you can see marked change, you know? So like, are they ever going to not have those traits? No, they're going to do that, but can they have a lasting and semi-healthy relationship where both parties are getting their needs met? Yeah, they can. They can have that.
Yeah.
And so like, you also have to really like gauge expectations.
Right.
Not just the therapist has to gauge theirs, but the client has to gauge theirs. They have to understand what's happened to them.
Right.
Why they interact with people and themselves the way that they do. Why they see the world and respond to it the way they do.
Right.
And like, how much progress can you make? What are your goals? So like, there's help out there for sure.
Yeah.
They're not a lost cause.
Right. What are, I guess the thing that comes to my mind are like, what are some of the myths of narcissism? Like we, like I share pop psychology. What are some of the things that people just kind of overgeneralize or assume about narcissistic personality?
I mean, I think it's like when somebody is, you know, self-serving, when someone's self-absorbed or they're like really inflate their accomplishments, when they, you know, have a lot of little white lies, if you will, if they're, or a compulsive liar, but always just trying to inflate themselves, inflate their ego. So yeah, I think those are the common misconceptions of what it looks like as somebody that's just kind of like has no empathy, doesn't care about other people, only cares about protecting their own ego and inflating it.
Right.
And I mean, that is part of narcissistic personality, but I, you know, all of those people that are being labeled narcissists, they really aren't.
Right.
I think what I see in my practice most commonly is I'll have a betrayed partner or an active addict come in. It doesn't really matter who's coming in, but you know, they are confusing their partner's behavior with narcissism when it's really addiction. So I think most commonly people are saying, oh, this person's a narcissist, but they're really an active addiction. And I say this very often is that if you brought any active addict before me and I asked a series of questions to see if they were a narcissist, they would all check the boxes for narcissism. And it's because they've become so egocentric trying to only feed their disease. So when that disease becomes the primary focus, nobody else matters.
Right.
Nothing matters. So of course they have all of these like you know, characteristics and the outliers, everything that says, you know, they have narcissism or narcissistic personality and they don't.
Right. No, because I think of like one of the things when you talk about addiction and narcissism, like watching 600 Pound Life with food addiction and some of those people, like there is a lot of it's about me, 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 me. And I think as a viewer, it gets frustrating because it's like, oh my gosh, how do you not understand? It's not just about you. Like you have a wife or kids or a husband, whoever it is. But right there, you just said it's the addiction talking of ensuring that they get their needs met of, I will have a consistent caregiver. I will have help whenever I need it. And I don't put the effort into doing that for myself because I don't even know what that looks like.
Right. And so I, you know, people ask me the question, like, okay, so like, what does it matter if they're an active addiction or they're a narcissist? They are hurting me.
Right.
I think it does matter in how, what the course of treatment looks like. And I also think it matters with regards to how much hope you carry for the future of this relationship. Because as somebody really works a program, when they really dive into their treatment and into a process of recovery, you are going to see these narcissistic characteristics melt away in 3, 6, 9, 12 months. At about 18 months, you will not be seeing the same person before you. Have a characteristic here or there, and will it flare up sometimes? Perhaps,
right?
But it looks so different. And of course, you're going to have those few cases, they are outliers, but you're going to have those cases where, you know, after a year and a half, you know, 24 months of recovery, you are able to diagnose them as a narcissist or some other personality disorder. But until you have that time clean and sober, both chemically and behaviorally, you can't make that call. Nobody should be making that call and labeling you something until you have the amount of time clean that you need.
Do you think, like, even with, like, that amount of time that, you know, because when I think of addiction, we think of black and white thinking going from one extreme to the other. Do you think somebody can go from, like, having these narcissistic traits to just basically now focusing on others so much that they are fearful that they'll come off as narcissist? So it's like that other extreme of the, you know,
continuum. Yeah, I don't so much see them as fearful as that they come off as narcissists, but I often see somebody entering into recovery from chemical dependency and then their codependent tendencies rise to the surface. So yes, I do see somebody where their partner might have labeled them more narcissistic and now they're like, oh gosh, they're codependent. And I do see that pretty often. And it does feel like the pendulum is swinging a little too far the other way. And I think no matter what it is, whether you're talking about narcissism or, you know, some mental health disorder or addiction, in recovery from anything, you have a tendency for the pendulum to swing a little too far the other way before it corrects itself. So we can anticipate that happening.
Because I think that's one thing I would like others, you know, to know is we have these traits. We are all capable of this stuff. And that's just the human experience. That's life. But I also like the message that you bring of like, it will get better eventually. Like you said, the pendulum will correct itself. It just takes time. Because like you said, we have to get those expectations like realistic. Because I think we're like, okay, in a month, they should be fine. No, it's going to take a little longer than that. And that's okay.
Absolutely. And then the other thing I want to say to betrayed partners out there is when you are seeking out your own recovery for betrayal trauma, you know, it doesn't matter if your partner is an active addict or a narcissist, you have received a lot of trauma, neglect, and abuse. And you need to get the help that you deserve. And if you're still in that mode of trying to figure out, well, what's wrong with my partner so I don't get hurt anymore, please stop that and just get your own help. Because you don't need to figure it out. It's for them to figure out with their therapist. So please know that no matter what it is, your hurt is real and you need some help for that. Awesome. Well, I hope this helps you guys. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, discussion, write into us because we definitely want to hear everything you have to say. And happy to give you, you know, the feedback. So thanks so much, as always, for showing up. And we'll see you next week. Okay, for now.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epting. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today.
Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. iBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great! iBuyDirect has you covered too, with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style. Do you like premium brands? I do. iBuyDirect carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the iBuyDirect link in our show notes and get affordable custom eyewear today.
Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.